Welcome to Talk of the Town. I'm Sherry Gibson. Doug Tepfer is joining me in the studio today. Doug is the EMS Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with FHN. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Sherry. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. Tell me, what does that mean, the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator? What is it that you do?
Well, it's actually a lot of little hats that I wear under the emergency preparedness genre. We have certain preparedness obligations to the community, which include being prepared for chemical exposures that might happen out in our service area and being able to deal with those patients that have those exposures when they come to the hospital, basically protecting the infrastructure, our employees, our staff, our visitors, our patients, that type of thing, with different types of response plans. And as preparedness coordinator, my job is to make sure those plans are up to date, the staff is trained in them, and then also represent FHN at the local, regional, and state level in preparedness.
So does this include, like, tornadoes and natural disasters like
that, absolutely.
Too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Because even though we have to have plans on both ends of it, we have to have plans on what happens if it actually would hit the hospital or one of our facilities, and also what would we do if it hit our community and how do we absorb those patients into our system.
I know that one of the things FHN is working on with the community is a program called Stop the Bleed. Can you explain what that is?
Oh, absolutely. Stop the Bleed program, it's not a new program, but it's fairly new to our area. With the disasters that have taken place throughout the, not just our country, but the world, there's been a big focus on what can the community do to be more resilient, more prepared to hopefully save lives in the event of a disaster. And when I use the term disaster, it could be anything from a tornado to the shooting event that happened in Las Vegas. And Stop the Bleed program is just one of those programs that allows community people as well as professionals to learn the importance of recognizing severe bleeding and stopping that bleeding and giving them the simple tools they need to do that.
So obviously, as you said, then this is for just like everyday people too. So you never know when you're going to be put in a situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We people typically think of the big events, but the car accident, the lawnmower accident, the oops, I tripped and fell and put my hand through the window accident, any type of trauma that is going to cause extensive bleeding from an artery in your extremities can be life-threatening, and having the ability to stop that and stop the bleed or at least slow that bleeding down until emergency help arrives can make the difference between life and death.
So, Doug, in general, what does that process of stopping bleeding involve? Are you talking about like tourniquets and that kind of thing? How to know?
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of a multi-process, but it goes back to the basic first aid concepts of pressure points and direct pressure and elevation, things that probably most people learned if they were in Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, but we expand on that and we discuss wound packing and tourniquet use. Tourniquets have been one of those albatrosses that were good, were bad, and now they're good again. And through a lot of research, and primarily in relationship to our military conflicts, we found that tourniquets save a lot of lives. And being able to apply those tourniquets on a timely basis and apply them correctly really makes a big difference.
So when should someone be brought to the ER? I'm assuming if a tourniquet is needed, you need to get them to professional medical care as soon as possible.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's important that it's better to be safe than sorry. Anytime you have to work hard to control the bleeding or any type of arterial bleed should be seen in the emergency room. Even if it's not arterial bleeding, most people don't have the ability to close a wound, whether it's with sutures or a combination of staples and glue or whatever the doctor decides to use. But it's important that people be evaluated, not just because of the fact that they could keep bleeding, but also for the infection standpoint and for some people the aesthetic standpoint of having a wound closed properly.
You've been doing some programs with the schools, right?
Right. We've done two Stop the Bleed classes with the school district, one with their maintenance staff and another one with the school nurses, kind of the infancy of the program. We're hoping to roll the program out, and actually my personal goal is to get it in all the school systems, at least in Stevenson County, to where they've had the education. And of course, when we look at the school districts, there's everybody thinks of what's in the news, the active shooter incident in a school, but there's a lot of other opportunities for people to get injured in a school just like they would at home, power tools, that type of thing. So we feel that that's a very good starting point for not just the safety of our children, but also the safety of our community.
Is FHN working, and you, Doug, are you working with law enforcement too?
We have done some work with law enforcement. Part of my volunteer career is with the Sheriff's Reserve Unit here in Stevenson County. Through our foundation, we actually purchased tourniquets for the Freeport Police Department, and our goal was to make sure that all the law enforcement officers had tourniquets, not only so they had them in case they needed to use them on a civilian, but also, and almost as importantly, in fact, more importantly, so they used to had them available for themselves.
So what about other groups or just the average person that says, oh, you know, I'd like to know this basic information?
I think it's important for everybody to know, whether it's the mom that drives the kids back and forth to soccer, you know, it doesn't really matter. I think whether you're industry, whether you're a civilian, the skills that you learn are extremely important. And stopping the bleed is a life-saving venture. And I don't think people realize how fast somebody can lose enough blood volume to become unconscious or even die in some of these traumatic accidents. And they don't have to be significant. It can be the simple tripped and put your hand through the window type of situation. So getting the community educated in several steps of preparedness is important. And FHN is starting that process with a Stop the Bleed program.
So are there going to be other opportunities for people to come to a program or a training type of a situation?
Oh, absolutely. FHN is promoting Stop the Bleed Month, which is in March. And every Thursday evening in March, we're doing a Stop the Bleed class at the hospital. And then if there's any organizations, groups, businesses, anything like that that is interested in having or sponsoring a class, they can also contact our learning center at the hospital, and they will be happy to arrange and schedule an appointment. We do have information on our website at www.fhn.org on the upcoming classes in March. There is a small cost associated with that, but with that cost, you also get a Stop the Bleed kit. And that kit includes gloves, a tourniquet, gauze for packing a wound, as well as a compression dressing.
I know that TV is not always accurate in the way they display things and things that happen in television programs, but sometimes you'll see them, you know, rip clothes apart to use as a tourniquet or a belt. Can those kind of things, or do you have to have anything special to actually be a tourniquet, or can you use things like that if you don't have one?
No, actually, there's a lot of things that can be used as a tourniquet.
Okay.
The key with the tourniquet is placement, and you don't want something that's very thin, because if it's really thin, it's going to do more damage to the surrounding tissue. A belt, clothing, those types of things are good opportunities or good options if you don't have a tourniquet available to you. And actually, we teach that in the class, some of the alternatives that you can use if you don't have a tourniquet available. Because you just never know when emergencies are going to happen.
Exactly, and it could be you, it could be a family member. Is it possible to do a tourniquet on yourself?
Oh, absolutely, and we teach self-application. As a matter of fact, that's one of the big focuses with law enforcement, is being able to tourniquet themselves in case they're ever injured in the line of duty.
Doug, thank you for coming in today. Some really important information. What is that website, once again, where people can find out more?
All right, FHN's website is www.fhn.org, or they can call our Learning Center and talk with Hillary Jordan at 815-599-6707.
Thanks again for coming in.
Thank you, Sherry.
Doug Tepfer, EMS Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with FHN, today on Talk of the Town.